Amen. We're going to begin our talk in just a moment, and hopefully a few slides will come up as we go through this today. If you have your Bibles, maybe you might want to just turn to Exodus chapter 2, just so you have that ready to go. But it is such a joy to be with you, and it's always so lovely. Just, I know I've maybe said this before, so sorry if I'm on repeat, but there's always a real sense of joy in the worship and in the singing, particularly. There's always a real hearty singing whenever I come here and to Union Road, and it's such a blessing to sing those songs with you together. And a lot of those themes, actually, thank you for picking the songs, whoever did, because a lot of those themes are connected to what we're going to look at this morning as we look at Moses and God's mission and our part that we can play in that too. But just before I get into that, as Sammy mentioned at the beginning, you have been part of this Pray for Zero initiative along with Union Road about praying for an unengaged Muslim people group, the Akdam or Hamashin people group of Yemen. And just to encourage you, I think that Lecumfer and Union Road are the two churches that have prayed the longest continually for one people group as part of this initiative. There's been over 70 churches involved, over 80 people groups adopted, but I think you're the church that has prayed for one people group. Some have maybe adopted another one for another year or something, or a couple of ones, but I think you're the longest running. So thank you for that. Thank you for your perseverance. It's not an easy thing to pray for a people group that lives so far away and that we know very little about and maybe may never get to meet. And yet God is moving in response to your prayer. So thank you for your faithfulness in praying. And believe it or not, Pray for Zero officially is coming to an end. It was a four-year initiative that we were hoping to see all 179 Muslim people groups adopted for a year of prayer, and it's coming to an end basically this just in April, actually just passed. We've just completed that. So hopefully, if we have a video, I wanted to give you a really brief and quick update on how God has been answering prayers, your prayers and the prayers of other churches, and then we'll go into God's word a little bit after that. So let's see the video. So that gives you just a little bit of a picture and an idea of some of the things that have been happening over the last number of years. And just to recap a couple of the statistics, just in case you missed them or weren't able to see them, 84 people groups, including the Mahamashin, have been adopted for prayer by churches right across Ireland, north and south, and even a few churches from England and some from Holland even wanted to get involved as well. So praise God. Thank you for pioneering that in the early days, and you've been part of this great movement of prayer. And quite incredibly, really, 77 of those people groups of the original list, of the original 179, have become engaged with the church planting team just in these last 4 years amidst everything else that's been going on around the world. And so 136 people groups have been uniquely impacted. That means they've either been adopted for prayer or they have been engaged with the church planting team. And so God is on the move. I would love to say that the Mahamasheen are one of those 77. They're not yet. But and even though Pray for Zero is sort of officially finishing, I would love you to continue to keep this precious people group on your hearts for prayer. And there have been some really positive news and positive answers to prayer in Yemen more recently. And I'm not sure if you're aware of this or if you've heard from the news, but maybe if we can flick on to the next slide. Currently, in Yemen, there's been this ongoing fighting and conflict that's happening. But currently, there is the first nationwide truce between those who are fighting. And this is the first one in 6 years of fighting. It began about a month ago or so, just at the beginning of Ramadan. And more or less, it seems to be still holding. And so that is no small thing. That is no small thing in a nation that has seen so much conflict and fighting for 6 years constantly, that they're having a relative moment of peace and stability and truce. And not only that, but the president has handed over his powers to a sort of different team to try and negotiate better with the other side. And so these are really significant things that are happening. Aid desperately needs to get into Yemen. Still massive, massive issues in terms of malnutrition, people dying from the conflict, dying from lack of food, a lot of displacement. But these are reminders that as we're praying, God is remembering this nation. He is moving. And let's continue to pray. So I do just want to say personally, as well as on behalf of Frontiers, thank you so much for praying. Your prayers for the Mahamasheen have been heard by God, and we're going to look at that now through Moses as well. But please do continue to pray for them. And I hope that one day myself or someone else will be able to bring the good news to you that the Mahamasheen are finally being engaged with people on the ground seeking to share Jesus with them. And you may just be wondering, what's next? What's after Pray for Zero? I hear you cry. Thank you for asking and crying, let me tell you. We are going to continue in the whole element of prayer, and we're going from Pray for Zero to Pray for 30. Slightly confusing. But our sort of hope for the next 3 years is that we would love to see 30 churches across Ireland, north and south, praying for three things: praying for 30 new workers to go to the Muslim world over these next 3 years. I want to pray for 30 key cities in the Muslim world and give information about them, and 30 priority people groups, some of the big, last and least reached people groups of the world. So we're creating a new prayer resource. We're almost finished this one, Pray for 30, and we're going to focus on praying for 30 new workers. And each day we'll have a different type of job or occupation that people do overseas, just to give people an idea of how you can be praying. A wee bit like what Daniel was saying, there's all kinds of ways that all kinds of people can engage with others, and we want to just kind of widen out people's perspective on what that could look like. So please pray for us as we enter into this this initiative, and certainly if the Lord lays it on your hearts as a church that this would like to be something that you might like to do and continue in terms of journeying and prayer with us in this, we would love to chat more about that. But thank you so much for your prayers. So we're going to look at God's word now for our last 12, 13 minutes or so, and look at Moses and God's mission. And the question that I simply want to answer or look at today is, what can we learn about God and also about our part in God's mission through this story? It's a famous story. We know it so well. It's the bread and butter of Presbyterianism, isn't it? The burning bush symbol and all of that. But what is it that God is maybe saying to us today? There might be some fresh insight. And Sammy gave a little bit of context to Moses' story. When we meet him in this story, he's 80 years old. Is anyone 80 years old? No, don't put up your hand. He's 80 years old. He has lived in Egypt for about 40 years of his life. And this last 40 years of his life has been raising family. He got married. He had sons. He's working far away, looking after sheep, looking after the family business. And of course, we know the Israelites are still in Egypt under increasing hardship and slavery under Pharaoh. They're crying out to God for deliverance. They need a breakthrough. They need a rescue. And this is where we come into the story. We meet Moses in the midst of something every day. He's with the sheep. He's a farmer. He's a shepherd. That's exactly what he's doing. And we can relate to that everydayness of this moment. And suddenly it gets completely transformed. And before I just share these three points very quickly, I want to encourage you, or I felt it on my heart as I was thinking about you and praying for these services. I just felt like maybe the Lord wanted to encourage you to not think that you're past the age of being used by God. I know that's a very simplistic and a very generic kind of point, and we all probably know that. But I just felt maybe to emphasize that we all still have a part to play. We're here today with breath in our lungs, with life, with abilities, no matter what age or stage we are, because God can still use us and still wants to use us in his plan. It may not look like what it did 5 years ago or 10 years ago, or what it might look like in the future, but God still has a plan for us now. And I just love the fact that less than two chapters of Exodus were given to Moses' first 80 years of his life. And 38 chapters thereafter are devoted to his final 40 years. And so please don't count yourself out. Please don't think you're too old to be used by the Lord. Don't let age stop you, young or old, from responding to God's call on your life. So what can we learn from these verses? The first thing that I want to draw our attention to this morning is the promise of God. And when we think about Moses and we think about his part in God's mission, it's important that he needed to remember, and we need to remember as well, that there was a much bigger story going on than just Moses' life. This wasn't something that God had just thought up one day and thought, okay, we need to rescue the Israelites finally. Moses was stepping into something that was preceded by the promise of God. Way back in Genesis 15, you might remember, God had met with Abram and said these words. This was generations, many generations earlier. But he said, "Know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated 400 years. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterward they will come out with great possessions." See, God, the God that we serve, is a promise maker and a promise keeper. Nobody is as faithful as God is. He has a sovereign plan. He is the beginning and the end, and he knows the whole story. And Moses wasn't stepping into something that God hadn't already planned or gone ahead into. And this is the same for us. God has always gone before us in our lives. He's always working according to his plans and his purposes and his promises. And his question to Moses wasn't, "Look, I'm doing something new. Would you like to be involved?" He said, "Look, this has already been planned. I promise that I'm going to deliver the Israelites. They're going to plunder the people. They're going to come out with great possessions. The question is, Moses, do you want to be a part of seeing this promise fulfilled?" And of course, you know that we are living in the same kind of reality today. Revelation 7:9, we often quote it. It's the heart behind what Pray for Zero has been about, this great promise that we're still waiting to see, and we are still waiting for promises to be fulfilled and to be revealed. And this is awaiting its full completion. There are still peoples, nations, that haven't heard the gospel, let alone have the opportunity to say yes to Jesus and be part of one of this number. And the question is, are we going to listen and live in light of this promise? Are we going to lean into seeing this promise of God come to pass? So I want to encourage you, this will come to pass. This is the reality. And we have a God who makes promises and keeps them. And he simply says, "Do you want to be a part of seeing the promise fulfilled?" And I praise God that your prayers and your lives and how you give and how you live is investing into this, and I want to encourage you to keep it up more and more. The second point that I want to make, there's the promise of God that we see, but there's also the power of prayer. And I know it's something I often talk about whenever I'm here, but it is so key. The Israelites were groaning in their slavery. They were crying out to God. And it says that God heard, the crying out went up to God, and God heard their groaning. And I just love the fact that prayers reach God's heart. Prayers reach God's ears. And he was concerned about people. And we know that God is concerned about the lost. He desires that all men and women and young people everywhere might be saved, might come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. And so when you and I are crying out on behalf of our families or our neighbors or our friends or even other peoples like the Mahamashin, other nations, I believe that Moses' story reminds us that those don't go unnoticed or unheard. And I just love the fact that in one place prayer is happening. This crying out from the Israelites is happening. And God is moving other people in another place. And there's a significance there that as you've been praying for a place that feels very far away and you're wondering, what's happening? What's going on? I don't see any rescue. The Israelites weren't seeing any rescue, any immediate answer to prayer. Does that sound familiar? Not just with the Mahamashin, but in our own lives. Are there times when we pray and we don't see what God is doing? And we're like, God, are you even listening? Are you even moving in response to what we're asking you? And yet somewhere far away, God was moving. God was meeting with the person that he had chosen to lead this people out of their slavery. And that is often how God works. We continue to persevere in prayer. We trust the Lord, even though we don't see it. And we have to believe that God is raising up people with a heart for the Mahamashin, not least of all yourselves, but maybe people who might be the kind of Moseses who will go and bring this message of freedom and rescue in Jesus' name. The Israelites had no idea that God was meeting and preparing a man called Moses to return and lead them out. And so as they were still crying out, God was moving. And so I just want to encourage you with that God is still on the move among the Mahamashin throughout Yemen, even when we don't see it. And so continue to cry out. I love this quote from Andrew Murray. I may have quoted this before, I'm not sure. He says that prayer is the secret of power and life for ourselves, for others, for the church, and for the world. It's on prayer that the promises wait for their fulfillment. The kingdom waits for its coming, and the glory of God waits for its full revelation. So pray on, friends, because it is not in vain. And the final point that I want to make this morning is Moses' encounter reminds us of the centrality and the importance of the person of God. It not only reminds us of the promise of God, which is true, and all God's promises, as we know from Scripture, are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. It reminds us of this power of prayer and that God invites us to be a praying people. He hears our cries. But primarily, this is a story about a person, the person of God. This was a watershed moment in Moses' life. Have you ever had one of those? An encounter with God where just Jesus has gripped your heart and you know that things are going to change. Things have changed. It was a fiery, holy moment. It was mysterious. And it could have been dangerous for him had he come any closer as well. But at the heart of everything, I think Moses was encountering a person. This mysterious, all-knowing, all-powerful, triune God, the great I Am, Yahweh. And everything else in Moses' life for the next 40 years was going to flow from this place of knowing this person. When Moses made all these excuses, what was God's answer to him? He said, I will be with you. The person of God. I'm going to be with you. So before the call, before the mission, before the rescue, Moses needed to meet the person first and foremost and know that he was at the center of it all, and that true strength and true ability and anything of rescue was going to come from God's hand and not Moses' himself. He says, I am the God of your father. We sung about that. We sung about the God of Bethel. We sung about the God of the past and who would be the God of our future generations. And Moses was being reminded of who he really was, of who his family line was ultimately a part of. He'd been living in Midian for 40 years. He'd been raising a family in a natural sense. But God was reminding Moses, I am part of, you're part of a much bigger story. And this family mission has been going on long before you were here, and it will continue long after you go. But the question is, Moses, do you want to be a part of this? Do you want to join me in what I want to do? One of my favorite psalms is Psalm 90, and it's attributed to Moses. It's a prayer of Moses. And this is how he begins. He says this. He says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. And I think Moses learned a secret in this moment and indeed throughout the rest of his life, that wherever he was, Egypt, Midian, in the middle of a wilderness, that his true home, his true identity was found in God alone. And as I close, I guess I want to encourage us afresh. Do you and I center our everyday around the person of Jesus? Is he our first priority? Is he the one that we live and move and find our being in each and every day? I think this is the greatest gift we can give to our families, to our friends, and even thinking about mission. Everything flows from knowing the person of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so have you encountered him recently? Have you felt this fire in your heart and soul? Have you heard him speak to you through his word, through his spirit? Have you been curious enough, even like Moses, to just lean in and step in towards something that you feel God might be leading you into? Moses just took a few steps closer, and it changed everything, not just for him, but for all of the Israelites as well. And so I pray that, like Moses, we will all keep stepping in to his presence. We'll remind ourselves of his promise. What is a promise of God that you need to hold on to today? Or maybe you're holding on to something, but you're feeling like, God, where is this going to happen? There were hundreds of years past before this promise was fulfilled that the Israelites would be set free. Hold on to the promises of God. Remember about the power of prayer, as you know, and keep persevering in it. And may the Lord keep us centered and fixed and focused on him, and that our relationship with him is the most important thing in our lives. Lord, I just pray that as we close this morning, Lord, that you would seal your word in our hearts, Lord. We thank you for this incredible moment. And we may not have a burning bush experience like this, but Lord, how much more so in a sense that the very presence and spirit of God lives in us. Lord, would you burn within us with greater fervency, with greater fire and joy. Lord, burn, may we become less, may you become greater, Lord. May we hear your voice and follow in all that you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen.